So both the seasons of Advent, which means going toward the birth of Christ, both the season of Advent and of Christmas have very long histories. These seasons and their customs have developed through many centuries and through many countries. Old customs and observances have been refined, renewed, and replaced, and new ones have been added throughout the centuries. Some of our customs have pagan origins, but they've been converted by redefining their meanings. What's significant for us is not what they may have once meant, but rather what they mean for us today. This morning, our church will begin to wear its Christmas apparel as we make ready for the birth of the Christ child by preparing the sanctuary. We make ready ourselves and the sanctuary of our own hearts. We are mindful that although it is not Christmas yet, it will be here soon, and very soon. As we decorate the church this morning, we'll be explaining the history of the symbols of these special seasons, and we will also rededicate these symbols and ourselves to the service of God. So a few words about what's going to happen. We did this for the first time last year, and I'm sure not all of you remember everything that happened on December 2nd, 2018, so we'll remind you a little bit. As I indicated earlier, there are greens scattered about the sanctuary. Some are holly greens, some are evergreens, and some are cedars. I hope you can tell the difference. If not, no big deal. The sanctuary will not fall apart. But throughout the time, Kyle and I will be speaking. Carly Wolf is reading scripture. And then you will be invited during the singing of a hymn to bring forward whatever is near you. Evergreen, cedar green, holly. I think a couple of you might have our stoles out there. There are the Advent candles will get brought up at different times as well. So we'll try to instruct you through all of this. Another note is that not all of the hymns have asterisks next to them. That is intentional. You don't have to stand up and sit down and stand up and sit down throughout this whole service. So take note of where they are. Kyle and I will also try to take note of where they are so we don't mistakenly invite you to stand up when you don't need to. And please also, if it's uncomfortable, if you're not comfortable coming forward to bring a green, you don't need to. You can hand it to someone next to you. If you are a little bit slower at walking and still want to come forward, take your time. No big deal at all. I don't want anyone to feel hindered to come and participate in this service. So with that, let us stand as you are comfortable, and we're going to sing two verses of the hymn, Awake, Awake, and Greet the New Morn. It's number 107 in your hymnals. Well, see, there you go. But, anyway. be seated. Too bad it's not Lent. I could repent. But since it's not Lent, I won't repent. All right, the colors of Advent. Today is the first Sunday in Advent, and it marks the beginning of a new church church year. So a happy new year. Paraments, which cover our communion table and will adorn the stoles that Kyle and I will wear, and we'll be hanging the banners up on the wall. These paraments are kind of like, someone compared them to drapes in our home, in that they kind of accent and add color and attract the attention. We change our paraments with the changing of the church year. They add variety, and in this case, they point to the significance of the season and the festival being celebrated. The traditional colors of Advent are purple, which symbolize the sacred fulfillment and spiritual fulfillment, or you can use blue, which symbolizes anticipation and promise. The purple we use in particular symbolizes repentance and fasting. You may have noticed we use purple during Lent as well. Advent was, in the earliest days of Christianity, a season of fasting, just like Lent is today. In fact, in some Christian traditions still, Advent is a season of fasting and lasts 8 weeks, not just four. Yeah. Purple is also the color of royalty, and since Jesus is descended from King David, and also, as we say, the sovereign of the world, we will use purple to adorn the communion table. You can also use blue. In fact, my stole and yours is blue too, right? My stole is blue, Kyle's is blue. We can also use blue because it anticipates both Bethlehem, the coming of Jesus to Bethlehem, and the always unfolding nature of God's realm that is present in the Christ in our world. So blue gets used as a symbol of hopefulness as opposed to a symbol of repentance. So if you've got our stoles, you can bring those forward while we'll sing, and a couple of other folks will be bringing up the purple for our table. And as we prepare, do that preparation, you can remain seated. Yes, remain seated. And we'll sing the first two verses of Lift Up Your Heads, O Mighty Gates.
My name is Carly Wolf, and this is Jeremiah 23:5-6. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from David's line, and he will rule as a wise king. He will do what is just and right in the land. During his lifetime, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And his name will be the Lord is our righteousness.
In ancient times, the cedar tree was revered as the tree of excellence and endurance. It also signified immortality and was used for purification. We place this cedar branch as a sign of Christ and of the kind of power he wielded, not the power of might, but the power of transformation. And we contemplate his call to justice and peace. We seek to purify our hearts and renew a right spirit within us. And so if you have the cedar in your seat, will you please bring it forward as we sing, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Isaiah 9 and 2, 6 through 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in a pitch dark land, light has dawned. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be vast authority and endless peace for David's throne and for his kingdom, establishing and sustaining it with justice and righteousness, now and forever.
Green represents renewal, new life, freshness, and rebirth. Plants such as pine, fir, holly, ivy, and mistletoe are called evergreens because they do not die. Through the seasons of the year, they remain evergreen, ever alive. It is no wonder that we deck our sanctuary and halls with evergreens during this Advent season. Advent is the season of preparation for the ever-coming Christ, God's gift to us of renewal and transformation. Because the needles of pine and fir trees appear not to die each season, the ancients saw them as signs of things that will last forever. Isaiah tells us that there will be no end to the reign of the Messiah. Therefore, we hang wreaths of evergreens shaped in a circle, which in itself has no end, to signify that the kingdom of God, to which Christ so eloquently testified, is also without end and is realized wherever truth, justice, and peace prevail. So if you have evergreens in your seat, please bring them forward as we listen to the instrumental ensemble.
Thank you.
Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. Who can believe what we have heard, and for whose sake has the Lord's arm been revealed? He grew up like a young plant before us, like a root from dry ground. He possessed no splendid form for us to see, no desirable appearance. He was despised and avoided by others, a man who suffered, who knew sickness well, like someone from whom people hid their faces. He was despised and we didn't think about him. It was certainly our sickness that he carried and our sufferings that he bore, but we thought him afflicted, struck down by God and tormented. He was pierced because of our own rebellion and crushed because of our crimes. He bore the punishment that made us whole, and by his wounds we are healed. Like sheep, we had all wandered away, each going its own way, but the Lord let fall on him all our crimes. For Christians, this passage from Isaiah reflects on the sufferings of Jesus on the cross and God's transformation of that event into the promise of life. In ancient times, holly and ivy were considered signs of Christ's passion. Their prickly leaves suggested the crown of thorns, the red berries, the blood of the Savior, and the bitter bark, the drink offered to Jesus on the cross. So if you have holly in your seats, please bring it forward.
From the 60th chapter of Isaiah. Though darkness covers the earth and gloom covers the nations, the Lord will shine upon you. God's glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to your dawning radiance. Since Jesus was called the light of the world in the New Testament, the lighting of candles has become an important part of our Christian worship. Some early Christian leaders stated that the wax of altar candles represented the body of Christ, while the wick symbolized his soul, and the flame portrayed his divine nature. When Joseph and Mary presented Jesus in the temple, Simeon referred to the Christ child as a light to lighten the Gentiles. From this statement, church leaders have used candles to symbolize the light of Christ shining throughout a broken world. Advent is a time of expectation, and this is symbolized not only by the four-week period of preparation, but also by the lighting of an Advent candle on each Sunday of the season. These four candles provide us with a visual way to count down the four Sundays of this season. The flame of each new candle reminds us that something is happening, but something more is still to come. The Advent season is not complete until all four candles are lighted, with the central Christ candle also burning brightly on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. The tradition of the Advent wreath is traced back to an old Scandinavian custom that celebrated the coming of light after a season of darkness. In that day, candles were placed on the edge of a horizontal wheel, and as the wheel spun around, the lighted candles would blend into a continuous circle of light. Today, we use a circle of evergreen to remind us of the continuous power of God, which knows no beginning and no end. There's also symbolism, of course, in the color of the candles in the wreath. We use the three purple candles to symbolize the coming of Christ from the royal line of David, and the pink candle gets lit on the third Sunday of Advent. It symbolizes joy, and its use goes back to that early church tradition, which I mentioned earlier, when worshipers fasted during the season of Advent, and that Sunday of joy was a symbol that the fast was almost over. The Gospel of John speaks of Christ as the true light coming into the world. In commemoration of that coming, we light candles for the 4 weeks leading to Christmas and reflect on the coming of the Christ. It is significant that the church has always used that language, the coming of the Christ, because it speaks to a deeper truth than just simply Christmas Day. Christ is coming. Christ is always coming, always entering a troubled world, a wounded heart. And so we will light the first candle today, the candle of hope, and we dare to express our longing for peace, for healing, and for the well-being of all creation. As we sing, "Arise, your light has come," do not arise, but I invite those folks with the candle wreath and the candles to bring those forward.
As you remain seated, please join me in the Advent candle liturgy. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Today we remember the prophets of old who demanded to be heard, who dared to speak of a child to come, the unexpected liberator of the people, vulnerable incarnation of the holiest of holies, a new name of God. On this first Sunday of Advent, we light this candle as a symbol of the prophets who renew our faith and remind us of what may be.
The legend of the poinsettia comes from Mexico. It tells of a girl named Maria and her little brother Pablo. They were very poor, but always looked forward to the Christmas festival. Each year, a large manger scene was set up in the village church, and the days before Christmas were filled with parades and parties. The two children loved Christmas, but were always saddened because they had no money to buy presents. They especially wished that they could give something to the church for the baby Jesus, but they had nothing. One Christmas Eve, Maria and Pablo set out for the church to attend service. On their way, they picked up some weeds growing along the roadside and decided to take them as their gift to the baby Jesus in the manger scene. Of course, other children teased them when they arrived with their gift, but they said nothing, for they knew that they had given what they could. Maria and Pablo began placing the green plants around the manger, and miraculously, the green top leaves turned into bright red petals, and soon beautiful star-like flowers surrounded the manger, and so we see them today. If you have a poinsettia in your seat, please bring it forward as we sing.